So will Louisiana classrooms have the Ten Commandments posted on the walls? Well, that was what the law was written. That's what the law was passed. That's the law that was signed. Since then, it's been in the courtrooms, and yesterday was in the courtroom as well. Joining us now to talk about the fight is our state's Solicitor General, Ben Aguinaga. He's on the hotline right now. Ben, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brian. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I hope I came close on your last name.
Hey, you came closer than most, so Okay. Congrats to you, and thanks.
Okay. give it to me in how it really sounds so that I can hopefully get it right.
Sure. It's Aguinaga.
Aguinaga. Aguinaga. Okay. Making sure I have that from now on. All right. Walk us through. I tell you what, before we walk through yesterday, bring us up to speed on how this process has played itself out to put you in court yesterday.
Sure. Happy to. So over the summer, Governor Landry signed into law HB 71. HB 71 requires every public school classroom in Louisiana to bear an image of the Ten Commandments. This is a version of the Ten Commandments that the Supreme Court upheld in a case called Van Orden versus Perry. And what the law says is that by January 1st, 2025, each public school should have this version of the commandments on the law. But what the law is very clear about is that it establishes a minimum requirement. So the minimum requirement is that the poster or depiction of the commandments has to be only 11 inches by 14 inches. And then the only other requirement is that the text of the commandments has to be readable and the central focus of the poster. And that's the minimum requirement. The rest is left up to the discretion of school boards, parish school boards across the state. And I'll be happy to talk about the details, but one of the points we make in our case is there are literally millions of ways that schools could comply with the law by making these posters educational and conveying the historical relevance of the Ten Commandments to the creation of Western legal thought and the foundation of our legal system. So over the summer, the governor signed that into law. Schools can post the posters today in their classrooms, but there was this lawsuit that was filed, and then there's another lawsuit currently pending in New Orleans challenging the law. And so in this lawsuit, the governor scheduled a hearing for yesterday to hear argument on whether this case should proceed.
And how did yesterday go?
So we had a great hearing yesterday in front of Judge DeGravel here in Baton Rouge. The hearing was quite long. I think we were in court for the entire duration of the day. It was about 6 to 7 hours. The first part of the hearing was really focused on an evidentiary question. There is a question about the role of so-called historical experts in Establishment Clause cases. So the claim in this case is that posting the Ten Commandments on a public classroom wall violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. But the Supreme Court in its Establishment Clause cases has never said that historical experts can dictate to federal judges how to do their job and how to decide what the law is. And so there was the first part of the morning yesterday dealt with that question. The second part, beginning in the afternoon, was really about whether the merits of this case, whether it's properly in federal court and should proceed. And just to give your listeners a preview of the state's position here, the Fifth Circuit, we're in the Fifth Circuit, Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi are in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We have binding precedent that says in Establishment Clause cases, unless there is an actual religious display that people have seen and facts and context that a judge can consider, then that case is not ripe. That's a term of art. That case is not ripe for resolution by a federal judge. It's kind of like if you have vegetables or fruit that aren't ripe, you don't want to eat them. Same thing with the legal case. The court just doesn't have enough facts to decide a case. Mm-hmm. And so the main part of that argument in the afternoon yesterday was whether this case was actually ripe. And it's really not. Nobody has ever seen an HB 71 display. There aren't any up in classrooms. And so what the plaintiffs have done here is basically sue over an imaginary display that they claim violates their constitutional rights. And so what we told the court is, look, dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction. They can come back, in January, February, if and when they think they have an actual violation of their constitutional constitutional rights.
Okay, so imaginary display would be one way to put it. Eminent display would be another way to put it, because should the law hold up, it's going to happen. So if the argument is that you can't argue against it until they're physically up there, is that what I'm hearing from you?
It's pretty close, Brian. I think the way I would put it is what the Supreme Court has said, and this is not just like one faction of the Supreme Court. There's a case called American Legion a couple of terms ago in the Supreme Court where Justice Breyer and Justice Sotomayor, or sorry, not Justice Sotomayor, Justice Breyer and Justice Kagan joined Justice Alito in an opinion that said a couple of things. One is that the Establishment Clause analysis is fact-intensive, and two is they said the Ten Commandments have historical significance in our legal system. And what they recognized in that opinion and in many other Establishment Clause cases is that if you don't know the exact context surrounding a religious display, then you can't actually adjudicate. You can't run the Establishment Clause analysis. And that's the difficulty here, is that in order to answer the question whether an HB 71 display violates the First Amendment, you have to be able to say exactly what that display looks like. What size is it? What words are used on it? What pictures are used on it? What formatting and font? And where? And I think one of the most important things is, like, where is it placed in the classroom? Is it on a back wall? Is it on a side wall where students are probably maybe not going to see it? Those are really important contextual questions that inform the First Amendment analysis. And that's not a question that the court right now can answer, because nobody knows the answer to it.
Okay, I want to walk down that path for a quick minute here, because it brings up a bigger question. If you have an 11 by 14, which is basically a legal size paper, if you have an 11 by 14 posting of the Ten Commandments in a corner of the classroom that's too far away for kids to even read it, like let's say it's in the front left corner of the classroom, the kid in the back row is not going to be able to read it, then what was the point of what we're doing here?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the interesting questions. We had this very interesting moment with the judge yesterday, because I brought him a display that we created, a potential display. It's 11 by 14 inches, and I'm standing 10 feet away from him. He's on the bench, and I'm at the podium. And the particular example we showed him was one that we created about the Supreme Court. We talked about architecture in the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments and Moses literally everywhere in their building. And so we took that example to him, and just to describe for your viewers, it's an example where it has three lawgivers on the poster. One is Moses, of course, in the middle with the Ten Commandments. The other two are famous lawgivers, William Blackstone, who wrote the commentaries, and then John Marshall, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who famously said it's the duty and province of the judiciary to say what the law is. So I had that poster in my hands, and I showed it to him. I said, Judge, I'm reading to you. I can read to you right now from the Ten Commandments, because it's clearly readable. And he said, I can't read it. I'm 10 feet away from you, and I can't read it. And I said, Judge, that's exactly my point, is that this kind of contextual fact, the fact that if you're 10 feet away, it doesn't matter if that poster is at the front of the classroom, the side of the classroom, the back of the classroom. This is not – I think the way this case has been litigated is people assume you're going to have some, like, billboard-sized poster of just the Ten Commandments. That's not actually what the law requires, and I don't think that's how any school is going to carry this out. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, Brian, about, like, what was the legislature doing here and intending to accomplish, I mean, I think what it was doing was giving discretion to schools – to incorporate and explain to students the relevance of the Ten Commandments in world history, in American history, and specifically in our legal thought in America. And how they do that, whether, you know, if that involves the placement of the posters, whether they want to make their posters larger or smaller. You know, I think the legislature very intentionally, by using the phrase minimum requirement, left all that up to the discretion of the schools. And, you know, I think that's a question that will be answered as time passes and just can't be answered right now.
We're talking with State Solicitor General Ben Aguinaga about the battle for the Ten Commandments in classrooms, in Louisiana classrooms, and where it's at right now. Ben, I got to ask, talk about the Establishment Clause. Is there any argument here where the Establishment Clause is supposed to prohibit the federal government from establishing a religion? Federal government didn't do diddly here. Our state government did.
Yeah, so that's a really fun, nerdy question that every law school student gets to deal with at some point in con law. So you're exactly right. First Amendment says Congress. It begins with the word Congress.
Right.
And yet the Supreme Court has held in a couple of cases dating back a few decades now that through the 14th Amendment, the Bill of Rights basically incorporates the prohibition in the First Amendment against the states. And so that's how you get to this interesting constitutional question of whether the state itself here has violated the First Amendment. So I think you would, you know, this would be a, I think Justice Thomas would love to talk with you about that question, about whether whether a constitutional provision that speaks only about Congress, in fact, governs the states. But at least as we're dealing with the Supreme Court precedent as it exists now, the answer is yes, that those prohibitions are incorporated against the states.
All right, fair enough. I mean, because not only does it say Congress, but later on in that same document, it says anything not covered here kicks back to the states. So
that's right.
I just, there's so many contradictions within.
You're exactly right. And that's many law review articles have been written about that.
I'm sure of it. We got about a minute and a half left. Okay, give me your read on the situation. Totally your take, not going to hold you to it, but walking out of yesterday, how do you feel this is going to play out as things are being mulled and considered?
Yeah, you know, I hesitate to speculate about how the court will decide the case. I can tell you he promised the parties that he would render a decision by November 15th in this case. And we specifically asked him to move as quickly as possible, because if necessary, we will go to the Fifth Circuit to get emergency relief given the impending January deadline. He was very engaged with both parties, and so he's clearly thinking deeply and hard about the issues. So we have complete confidence that he's going to do the best job he can, and that's all we've asked him to do. And we've given him binding Fifth Circuit precedent that says cases like this are just not ripe, and so he can't get past the jurisdictional stage. So we see what that court does. As I mentioned, there is another case pending in New Orleans. That case was brought by a teacher against the state, and that's in front of Judge Guidry. The briefing in that case will be done within the next week or two. And so, we'll likely see a couple of court decisions on HB 71 here within the next month or two.
And we'll be following up with you in short order as that continues on. He is the State Solicitor General, Ben Aguinaga. Thank you so much for a couple minutes this morning.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Have a good one.
You do the same.